author Elliot Tiber is here to talk about his new book, After Woodstock, and give us his spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Elliot.
Hi. Nice to talk to you.
Tell us about your new book.
Well, it's called After Woodstock. It's the final book of the trilogy. The first was Palm Trees on the Hudson. Second was Taking Woodstock. And this one is the true story of a Belgian movie, an Israeli wedding, and a Manhattan breakdown. It's mostly not about Woodstock, but about what happened to me after the festival. And I met a Belgian director, Andre Arnott, in New York, and we fell in love, and he was leaving back to Belgium, and I said I would follow soon, and told me get on Sabena Airlines. I didn't know what that was, and I bought safari outfit in New York. I was very elegant about it. On the plane, the hostess said to me, why are you dressed like for the jungle? I said, aren't we going to the Congo? She said, no, we're going to Brussels. To me, I learned at the Yeshiva Flatbush of Brooklyn, the Belgian Congo. Nobody mentioned Brussels to me. So when I got to Brussels, I met up with my new friend, Andre. I moved in with him, and we were together 27 years. And then he unfortunately died from Hep B. And when I was there, I was an artist and designer in New York, and I didn't know what to do in Brussels because I didn't speak a word of French. I started to pick it up after a while. And Andre was directing for television, so I met the head of the TV station who spoke sort of English, and we got to talking, and I said, how do you like I Love Lucy? He said, oh, I love it. It's our best show here ever. It's just wonderfully written. What he heard me say is, I wrote I Love Lucy, which of course I didn't say, but I could look at the credits. He was so excited about that, he gave me my own show to write. And so I wrote my first television show, which was a comedy about a fat guy from New York who did the Woodstock Festival. And I wrote in part for myself to play the lead, of course, and Andre to play another part. Then we got the best actors in Belgium. It was such a hit show, it was sent to the Montreux International Television Festival, but a semi-finalist at the thing. We came in second, followed by a new unknown singer called Julie Andrews from London. The next year, we also were a finalist and came in second to a comedy group from London called Monty Python. Well, I was traveling in good company. And so that was the beginning of my writing career.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
Well, I wanted to put in black and white what it meant to be gay. Survived the 80s in New York. They called it gay cancer, the AIDS crisis. And what it, the struggles to establish yourself as independent from your family and from your straight friends who weren't interested in you. And I thought I could use myself as an example because I became so successful at it, worldwide successful, which amazed me, you know, a little fat boy from Brooklyn. So that's why I wrote it.
What would you like to accomplish with your work?
Well, I would like to inspire young people, well, older ones too, but young people, the teens who are not sure about themselves, and I could be a role model. They can find themselves and to see how I did it through my work, and they would try and find their own voices and not have to suffer all of the pain of being ostracized by the straight world and being outside of the good life. So that's why I wrote it, to inspire these young people.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT civil rights?
Well, it's amazing to me that there is such a movement and such an organization that's worldwide, because when I was coming out, there was no groups, there was nobody to talk to, there was no companions, no people you could come out and say, hey, I'm gay and you're gay, let's be friends, and no such thing. So seeing this develop into a movement is very inspiring to me and hopeful to me. I'm 80 years old now, it's a little late for me, and I'm in forced celibacy now at 80, but I feel good that the new generations have a model, some place to look to find some answers and to carry on with their own lives. And hopefully these people go the next step further. I don't know what that would be at the moment, but the next step further, so that we're all equal, which we should be.
What would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in the next few years?
I would just like to see that we have the same rights as everyone else, that we have those rights, and we get on with our lives about we're going to be writers, painters, dancers, factory workers, and and that we just can function as everybody else does.
LGBTQ teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens taking their own lives after facing bullying incidents. What advice would you have for these kids?
Well, I don't know that these kids would find me to talk to me. I'm hopefully that they would read my books and they would see there's another route outside of the impossible, painful situations they may have at home that they're thinking about suicide, and that they can realize that there are groups and clubs and organizations across the country, even in small towns, where they can find their peers, they can find advice and help so that they don't have to think of suicide as a way out. And that's the most important thing.
How can people get information about your new book?
My new book, as well as my previous ones, are all on Amazon.com. They've been bestsellers there for a few years now. And they can go to Barnes & Noble's. Most bookstores have it. If they don't, they ask the books. If you're a small town and they don't have a section of gay, lesbian books, you could ask them for it. And that's the best way to reach information.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, as you know, you've seen my picture in the back of my book. I'm a lookalike for Brad Pitt, so I'm hoping that I could play his twin brother in his next movie.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
You mean besides my phone number, how to reach me because of my good looks? For all of these years, I was 34 when I did Woodstock, and the last 5, 6, 7 years, whatever, with my books, I've gotten letters from people all over the world in all kind of languages about people who were in small towns, for example, and villages. What do they do to have security for their lives and to advance themselves in their lives? And that gave me a great deal of satisfaction to know that they were asking these questions. But I always tried to give them advice and advise them where to go. If I didn't know in a particular city, I would look it up and tell them where they could get help.
Do you have a favorite quote, a mantra, to get you through difficult times?
I use a Yiddish mantra, Ich kann nicht halten von das, which means I can't stand this anymore. I'm going to do something about it. So that has always worked for me. The most difficult situations, I try and find a way out of it.